Now, if somebody came to you and asked you this question, what is the foundation for your Christian faith? Some of you would probably say, well, it's the Bible, God's Word. God speaks to me through the Word and directs me. Some of you might say, it's the incarnation. It's God becoming a man and living on the earth and doing and performing miracles. Some of you might say, well, it's the crucifixion of Christ on the cross where he gave his body, shed his blood, and that's foundation for my Christian faith. But I'd like to suggest this morning that there is a power that's greater than these, and these are good, and that is the resurrection. We could say all three, but the one that defeated Satan was the resurrection. Satan brought death into the world. When God created Adam and Eve, he created them in perfection, and he created them to live in perfection forever. Satan came along and tempted them, and they sinned, and they were separated from God. And as a result of that separation, death entered the world. Now, this was a physical death, but it was more so a spiritual death. There was a separation between God's creation and himself. In the New Testament, we have seven recordings of people being brought back from the dead. There's Jairus' daughter, son of a widow, Lazarus, Dorcas, Eutychus, and Jesus. If you don't know Dorcas and Eutychus, Eutychus is the young boy who was sitting in a window while Paul preached. He fell asleep and fell out of the window and died. And Paul brought him back to life through the power of God. Dorcas was a woman in the church, a woman in the church who made clothing. And she died, and everybody was upset, and Paul brought her. Actually, it was Peter who brought her back to life. And then we know that Jesus was resurrected. The dead who were resurrected after Jesus died again. Matthew 27:53 talks about another resurrection, and it talks about when Jesus was resurrected, that dead people came out of the tombs after Jesus resurrected and went into the holy city and appeared to many people. That must have been quite an experience for people who knew that their friends or relatives had died, and all of a sudden they were seeing them again because they had been resurrected at the time of Jesus' resurrection. A number of years ago, when I was pastoring in Oregon, in Canby, Oregon, I took a group of people from the church on a bus, and we drove across the United States to Hammond, Indiana. Now, Hammond is next door to Chicago, except it's a different state. Chicago's in Illinois. Hammond's is in Indiana. We went to a pastor's conference there, and this conference was being held in the First Baptist Church there. At that time, and I don't know what the attendance is now, but at that time, the attendance in that church was running about 30,000 on a Sunday. Now, they had a children's church, grades 5 to 8. And they used to have 300 or 400 kids in this service. And the children's pastor would use illustrations as he preached. One illustration he wanted to use was the illustration of Lazarus being raised from the dead. And so they got one of the older young people, and they decided the younger person volunteered, and they wrapped him up like he was dead, and then they carried him in and laid him across the communion table. They had a large communion table in this church. But the problem was that this young person was kind of a practical joker, and they weren't quite sure how he was going to respond to this message. So the children's pastor, he was ready for it, but nobody else knew this. And so he got to the point where in the service, Jesus cries out, Lazarus, rise. In the scripture, some say come out. He was in the grave. But this guy said, this pastor said, Lazarus, rise. Well, when he said that, this young person was supposed to sit up and come back from the dead. But he didn't move. Well, this kind of frustrated the children's pastor, and so he said again, and maybe he said, maybe I got to say it louder. So he yells, Lazarus, rise! No motion. This guy's still lying there. So the third time he says, Lazarus, rise! Didn't move. So he had been expecting this, so he went in behind the pulpit and brought out a sack, and in the sack he had two bull snakes. And he pulled bull snakes on this guy's chest. And there's these snakes. Bull snakes are not venomous, but he could see. And he all of a sudden sees these two snakes, and he jumps up off the communion table and tries his best to run down the aisle and out the door. And after the pastor, the Chisholm's pastor said, and I still think he's running today. He says, I want you to know, boys and girls, that God doesn't need help, but at this time, he needed help. Those who experienced being brought back to life again died again, but Jesus came back from the grave to take away Satan's final weapon, and that was to demonstrate God's power over sin and death. Now, the power is spoken of in a number of New Testament passages, and I want you to relate the word power to this. It says, with great power in Acts, with great power, the apostles continued to testified to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's grace was so powerful at work in them. And then Romans 1:4, and who through the Spirit of holiness was appointed the Son of God in power by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And then Romans 6:5, for if we have been united with him in death, like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. The whole point of the resurrection is to show the power of God over death, over life for that matter. In 1 Peter, he says, and this water symbolizes baptism, that now saves you all, not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a clear conscience toward God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, Pastor Joe has been preaching a series on from the book of Revelation. And I wanted to look at some evidences in Revelation about the resurrection of Christ. In Revelation 1:4-5, John says, John to the seven churches in the province of Asia, grace and peace to you from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins and by his blood. This firstborn from the dead indicates the fact is that Jesus was the very first and only one who had been resurrected and then stayed alive. This is what this referring to the firstborn is. Then Revelation 1:8 says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. I am the living one. I was dead, and now look, I am alive forever and ever, and hold the keys of death and Hades. Again, Jesus is showing us that the resurrection was an important part of the power of God in the lives of people. And then in Revelation 2:1, to the angel of the church at Ephesus write, these are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven golden lampstands. Jesus walks amongst the golden lampstands who were the churches. He walks amongst us today. He's here today. We worship a Savior who's alive and was dead but has been resurrected from the grave. And then one more, and these are just a glimpse of the scriptures. One more in Revelation 19. I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and wages war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him who no one knows but he himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and by his name is the Word of God. Now these passages are just a glimpse of the resurrection of Christ in the book of Revelation. So then you say, you're sitting there thinking, well, Lord, or well, Pastor, what has that got to do with me? I want to share with you a few points that help us in our lives. We can have victory in our lives because of the power of the resurrection of Christ. First of all, there's victory over despair. Have you ever felt despair in your life? Now, despair is losing hope. Many of us at different times or others in our lives have lost hope. That's what despair is all about. You remember the story when Mary Magdalene went to the grave and thought she had lost Jesus forever until he appeared to her. She went through a moment of despair. She lost all hope, thinking that she had lost her beloved friend and Lord. And yet when Jesus was resurrected, he appeared to her. In your despair in life, the resurrected Christ will come and give you hope. And I really believe that. If you're suffering through despair and lack of hope, turn your eyes on Jesus and he'll give you hope. There's hope in life, in this life and the life to come in regards to it. Secondly, because of the resurrection of Christ, there's victory over death. I've had a number of opportunities, of course, as a pastor over the years to participate in funerals. And the greatest opportunity or the greatest triumph is to have a funeral for a Christian. But the saddest thing is to have a funeral for a non-Christian. Because there's no hope. After death, there's no hope. And because of Jesus resurrected, we have victory over death. We need not fear death, for Jesus has conquered that. A number of years ago, I was working in the movie industry, and we were working on a set in Burnaby, and we had gotten word that there had been a really bad earthquake somewhere close by. And I remember one of the fellows on our crew was just terrified because he thought he was going to die. And I felt so badly for him because of that. He had such fear. But we have victory over death because Jesus Christ is alive and well in heaven. And then the third thing is we have victory over confusion. Do you ever have one of those days where you can't think clearly? Where you can't figure it out? You start off the day, and by the time the day ends, you're more confused than when you started. Jesus brings relief to confusion. Do you remember the two disciples? The Bible talks about the two disciples who were walking on the way to Emmaus, and they didn't understand what was going on. And Jesus caught up with them, and he was walking with them after his resurrection. I think that's so cool. Here's these two guys, and Jesus appears, and they didn't notice that it was Jesus, but the Bible says that Jesus, starting with the prophets, explained to them what was going on. Through his explanation, their confusion was overcome. He opened their eyes to who he was. And when we become confused in life, Jesus is always there to help us in our confusion. We need to admit it to him, go to him and say, Lord, I'm confused. And he's willing to help us. And then fourthly, there's victory over fear. Fear is not understanding or losing control. Do you ever get that point in your life where you don't understand or you've lost control? I've struggled with losing control. I've always wanted to be in control of life. But lots of times in life, you can't be in control. But Jesus is in control, and he will lead through that confusion and through that fear. Again, we go back to the Bible when the 10 disciples met together and were after Jesus' crucifixion. They met together in a locked room because they were fearful of the authorities in the area, and they were fearful that they were going to be they're going to be arrested and crucified along with Jesus. And Jesus appears to them and helped them through that fear. He'll help us through any fear that we might have. Again, we need to go to him and confess that fear. Lord, I'm fearful. I don't know what to do. I have no answers. And that's the best time that Jesus likes, is when we know that we don't have the answer, because he does. Jesus says in the Bible, in Hebrews, I will never leave you or forsake you. So we don't have to walk in fear. And then the fifth thing is we can have victory over doubt. That's the feeling of uncertainty or the lack of conviction. All of us as Christians go through those times when we just don't know. We just don't understand. There's a time when we might have doubt, and there's nothing wrong with that. Again, we go back to the situation with Jesus. The 10 disciples met, and then Jesus disappears. And then the 11 disciples appear with Thomas this time. And the other disciples said to Thomas, we've seen the Lord. And Thomas says, ha, yeah, right. He's been dead. He's dead. I saw him die. I saw them bury him. And they said, no, we've seen him. And suddenly the Bible says that Jesus appears. I love that whole situation where Jesus just appears, and he says, Thomas, touch me, touch my hands and my side. And that's when Thomas believed, and the doubt that he had disappeared. Now, how we can't touch Jesus' side and his hands, but we can see Jesus through the Word of God, through Scripture, through reading. And by the way, let me encourage you, if you're reading the Bible, take it at face value. Don't try to figure it out, because God will reveal to you what you need to know at that moment in time. Somebody else might see it differently, but you're not somebody else. Take it as you see it, and that will take away the doubt in regards to it. When we have doubts in our own lives, Jesus will reveal himself to us through his word, through our prayer lives, and through others. And that's why it's important to be in fellowship with one another. And then sickly, victory, we have victory over failure. You want to know what failure is? Peter denied knowing Jesus 3 times. And Jesus told him he was going to do that, and Peter said, no, I'm not going to do that. And he did it. 3 times he denied knowing Jesus. He failed. It was a failure in that whole situation. And after he realized that, he went out and repented. There is no failure so big that God cannot forgive and give us a second chance to be used by him. And that's what the resurrection of Christ does in our lives. And then there's victory over other powers. Jesus appeared to his 11 disciples at a prearranged location on a mountain in Galilee. And there he told them that all power and authority had been given to him. Satan does not have equal power to Jesus Christ. Greater is he that is within us than he that is in the world. That's the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus has been given all power and authority, we need not fear the power of Satan. I'm going to have the band, if they'd come up at this time. Now, the Bible tells us that after Jesus' resurrection, he appeared to as many as 500 of his followers at one time to confirm the completion of his ministry or his mission. And there he gives the coming of the promised Holy Spirit. Jesus' resurrection is not just a story or a fable, but it's a reality. And the evidences of that are the fact that so many people, starting with the disciples, willingly lost their lives because of their belief in the resurrection of Christ, believing that one day that they too would be resurrected. It is here we see the victory over all things as a result of his resurrection. What that means for all who believe that Jesus is the Son of God, have confessed sin and received him into their lives, the power of the resurrection is theirs, is ours. This morning I'm wondering, I know there are many of you who have received Christ and have the power of the resurrection in your life, but if you have not, I would encourage you to open your heart and your mind to receiving the power of Christ through his resurrection by saying, Jesus, yes, I want you in my life. I want that power in my life. I want to be victorious over the things that I struggle with. So I want to give an invitation this morning to receive Jesus if you're willing to do that. He will not force himself on you, but he will come into your life and live with you and you with him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that there is victory in the resurrection of Jesus. We thank you, Father, that Jesus is alive, and one day those who believe in him will too be alive as well. We will have to go through a physical death at some point or other, but we will be given an eternal body and be able to live with him forever. Thank you, Jesus, for your resurrection. Thank you for the power that you have given to us through it. Lord, bless our time. And for those who received you as their Savior at this point, Lord, bless them and open their lives to your love and care. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.